This is Radio Superior 1944, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1944. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now into the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the base, station KUWS in Superior, Wisconsin. It's 6 o'clock Central War Time, Saturday, January 1st, 1944. And this is Jack McKenna saying, win the war in 44. Lou Martin has the war news from the Pacific and Europe. Harriet Farrig has what's playing at the theaters. And we'll look at who we consider our man of the year.
Don't forget New Year's resolutions.
I resolve not to have any resolutions this year.
How about that?
I thought you were the guy that said willpower is my middle name.
My middle name is Cornelius.
And we'll just leave it at that. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Rudolph's Furniture. It is their sincere wish that 1944 brings peace and happiness to you and yours. Rudolph's Furniture, at the corner of Belknap and Tower in Superior. Happy New Year, Lou.
Happy New Year, Jack. The third year of the war for the United States, the fifth for Europe, was marked by optimism and gaiety. 1944 was ushered in as the world tossed off its war wools, at least for a few hours. Liquor was sparse because of the war, but New Yorkers celebrated late into the night with high hopes that this will be the last year of the war. 900,000 people thronged Times Square as it was awash in lights for the first time since the submarine menace began in 1942. Drinks sold for a dollar in New York. If you wanted a table, that cost you a $10 drink minimum. To reserve a table at the Fensgate Hotel in Boston, you had to buy a $1,000 war bond. By 2 a.m., New Yorkers Bellevue Hospital reported only 40 alcoholics brought in, and none appeared to have ingested bootleg or poison liquor. That compares to a half a dozen drunks jailed in Superior last night. In Buffalo, a group of social agencies experimented with a liquorless night for teenage boys and girls and pronounced it a noisy success. The Adamant Club of Colorado Springs, Colorado, had its annual display of fireworks atop Pikes Peak. And then they did, as their name says, they added a man to their membership. Carl Melzer of Denver is the lone member for 1944. And in Ossining, New York, inmates at Sing Sing Prison celebrated the new year by shouting, singing, and rattling their cell doors. There was little cheer on the battlefront. We begin our World Shortwave Radio report with Daryl Berrigan on the front lines at Cape Gloucester.
This is the South Pacific, Daryl Berrigan with the Fighting Leathernecks near Cape Gloucester. The dead of Bataan and Corregidor have been avenged in a small measure today. A fierce bayonet charge by American Marines littered the approaches of the Cape Gloucester airfields with the bodies of Japanese troops who fought in the bloody Battle of the Philippines. These Marines are veterans of the Guadalcanal campaign. They swept down on the Japanese before dawn and drove them at bayonet point from a maze of pillboxes behind the airdromes. Many of these pillboxes were defended by veteran Japanese troops of the 65th Division, which fought on Bataan. Marines, in their own words, turned all hell loose on these cocky Japanese warriors. Private First Class Jimmy Palmer of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, says their surprise attack threw enemy troops into a state of near panic. All hell broke loose, said Private Palmer. Some of the Japs were talking in English, some were jabbering away in Japanese. When the smoke cleared, the Japanese garrison had been wiped out to a man, opening the way for the capture of two Cape Gloucester airfields. Japanese bodies are strewn through the jungle clearing, many of them riddled by Tommy gun slugs or torn apart by hand grenades. Others lay sprawled in grotesque heaps where they fell before the bayonets of charging Marines. Navy CB battalions have moved in to repair the bomb-battered runways. General MacArthur's headquarters says the fighting CBs will rebuild the fields, allowing Allied air attacks on Rabaul, just 275 miles away. Rabaul is the main air and sea Japanese fortress in the Southwest Pacific Theater. With the Marines in newly captured Cape Gloucester, this is Daryl Berrigan speaking, calling Soviet Russia. Do you read me? Max Jordan.
This is Max Jordan with the Red Army near the Polish border. I'm with advanced Soviet troops who are now just 35 miles from the old Polish border and 90 miles from the pre-war Romanian frontier. The Red Army is hammering German forces along a 200-mile front west of Kiev, liberating 150 communities along the way. As the good news of these advances poured into Moscow, Communist Party official Michael Kalaman declared that 1944 would see the total liberation of invaders from Soviet territory. Soldiers here read of Moscow dispatches describing the happiest New Year celebrations of the war. Among soldiers here, there is already talk about which troops will be the first to Poland. General Nikolai Vatutin's 1st Ukrainian Army is racing ahead far beyond territory lost in last November's general counteroffensive near Kiev. Berlin reports in Swedish newspapers indicate a large-scale German retreat may be in order to stabilize the eastern defenses. With the Red Army just east of the Polish border, this is Max Jordan calling the British Isles. Come in, London.
This is Britain, Webb Miller in London speaking. Facing the grimmest year in his near 11-year-old Nazi regime, Adolf Hitler offered his people and soldiers New Year's hints of an offensive and new inventions of warfare. In radio broadcasts monitored here in London, the Fuhrer also asserted that Germany was ready for an invasion from the West. His wordy message played on these propaganda themes of new weapons and big offensives. But Hitler acknowledged that 1943 was a year of heavy reversals. With his troops trying to stave off further disasters in Russia, Hitler tried to explain Soviet triumphs. He said the Nazi offensive of last July was necessary to force Russia to launch its counteroffensive before winter set in. Hitler said 1944 will be a hard one, but it will inflict heavy blows against the enemy. Alluding to secret weapons, Hitler said they will unveil it soon and it will succeed within a short period of time. In London, this is Webb Miller reporting.
The Allies have captured three hills in Italy. Associated Press correspondent Richard Masick reports that American troops of General Mark Clark's Fifth Army have seized three heights overlooking the Cassino Highway. That's the main highway to Rome. Meanwhile, the 8th Army is picking its way through minefields at a mile-a-day pace along the Adriatic coast of Italy toward Pescara. At home, Massachusetts Senator Henry Cabot Lodge laid plans for the Republican presidential campaign this year. He cautioned the GOP to avoid smearing potential nominees. He suggests drawing up positive plans for running the government and call attention to the mistakes and mismanagement of the FDR administration. Republican presidential possibilities have centered around General Douglas MacArthur, Wendell Willkie, New York Governor Thomas Dewey, Governor John Bricker of Ohio, former Minnesota Governor Lieutenant Commander Harold Stassen, and California Governor Earl Warren. President Roosevelt asked the nation in his New Year's address to pledge cooperation to the United Nations' determination for final victory. He says, quoting him, "Our armed forces are gathering for new and greater assaults, which will bring about the downfall of the Nazi aggressors." Mr. Roosevelt remains in bed under doctor's orders until he recovers from an attack of the grip. Meanwhile, British Prime Minister Winston Churchill continues to convalesce after his bout with pneumonia. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has this message from our sponsor.
Season's greetings from Rudolph's Furniture, corner of Tower and Belknap in Superior. It is our sincere wish that 1944 brings peace and happiness to you and yours. From our employees in service, Corporal Patricia E. Kingston, who is in the wax. Sergeant Thomas L. Dix, U.S. Army. Corporal Robert Schachty, U.S. Army, PFC Oscar J. Johnson, Jr., in the U.S. Marines, Sergeant Floyd Stein, U.S. Army, and Burton B. Rudolph, U.S. Navy. That's Rudolph's Furniture, corner of Tower and Belknap in Superior. Lou?
The high price of war is being felt on this New Year's Day around our region. Mrs. Paul Strelka of Superior received a telegram from Washington saying that her son has been wounded in action. Private First Class Conrad Strelka was wounded in the Southwest Pacific Theater in New Britain December the 17th. Private Strelka left Superior March the 1st of 1941 for Camp Shelby, Mississippi with a medical unit. He's been overseas since 1942. Mrs. Strelka has another son in the service. Sergeant Paul Strelka is with the Army Air Corps in Casper, Wyoming. Mrs. H.D. DeMeyer of Superior also received a telegram from the War Department. Her brother, Lieutenant R.M. Baum, is missing after leaving on a flight overseas. A search off Newfoundland has been abandoned. Lieutenant Baum was a bombardier. And memorial services for Private Vernon Johnson will be held tomorrow in Danbury. Reverend Grover of Frederick will officiate at the Methodist Church in Danbury. Private Johnson was killed in action in the South Pacific October the 1st. He's the only son of Mrs. Lee Davis. An Ashland County father got good news over the Christmas holiday. George Bidgood of Mellon received word that his son is being held as a prisoner of war by the Japanese. Mr. Bidgood hasn't heard from his son, Major Clarence Bidgood, since he fought at Bataan in 1942. The major spoke over a shortwave radio in a message recorded by the War Department and forwarded to his wife. In his message, Major Bidgood said that he's being held prisoner at Tent Zui, Japan, that he's in good health. Major Bidgood says that he doesn't need anything except some snapshots of his wife and his two children, one of whom he has never seen. Six Ashland County men will leave Monday for the U.S. Army Induction Center at Fort Sheridan, Illinois. They are Joseph Burrell, Howard Hagstrom, Terry Johnson of Ashland, Lawrence Cloud of Odena, Errol Schutte of Highbridge, and Marvin Jonas of Butternut. And finally, Jack, the new year got off to a reasonably sober start in Superior. Police say that only seven men were sufficiently inebriated as to be thrown into the clink. No drunken drivers were arrested, so police consider this a quiet New Year's.
Well, it's hard to go yahoo when you hear war news all the time. I understand lots of folks went to watch night services instead at the church. That's Lou Martin, the Yahooinist newsman on the radio. Let's check our forecast from the United States Weather Bureau for this New Year's Day, Saturday, 1944. Looks like some snow tonight, with warm temperatures. We should have a low around, say, 21 degrees. Pretty hot stuff for a January here at the head of the lakes, friends. Now let's kick off our New Year's Saturday night with some brand new releases for 1944. Here's the Andrews Sisters with Rum and Coca-Cola on the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUWS.
If you ever go down Trinidad, they make you feel so very glad. Calypso sing and make up rhyme, guarantee you one real good fine time. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola, go down Point Cumana. Both mother and daughter, working for the Yankee dollar.
Oh, beat it, man, beat it.
Since the Yankee come to Trinidad, they got the young girls all going mad. Young girls say they treat them nice, make Trinidad like paradise. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola, go down Point Cumana. Both mother and daughter, working for the Yankee dollar.
Oh, you vex me, you vex me.
from Chickachickary to Mona's Isle. Native girls all dance and smile. Help soldier celebrate his leave. Make every day like New Year's Eve. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola. Go down Point Cumana. Both mother and daughter. Working for the Yankee Dollar. In old Trinidad, I also fear the situation is mighty queer. Like the Yankee girl, the native swoon, when she heard her bingle croon, drinking rum and Coca-Cola, go down Point Cumana, both mother and daughter, working for the Yankee dollar. Romance with native peach. All night long make tropic love. Next day sit in hot sun and cool off. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola. Go down Point Cumana. Both mother and daughter. Working for the Yankee Dollar.
The fact, man, it's the fact.
Rum and Coca-Cola. Rum and Coca-Cola. Working for the Yankee Dollar.
Wow, I like that one. That's the Andrew Sisters with Vic Shane on Station KUWS. Hey, Lou. Lou, did you read Alley-Oop today?
Newsmen don't read the funny pages.
Yeah, right, I know. Yeah. But did you read Alley-Oop?
That's in the funny pages.
Oh, I thought you meant the page with editorials and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Newsmen don't read the funny pages. They write them.
That's the voice of the seemingly omnipresent station engineer and reader of the funny pages, Joe Gardonio.
Yep. Oop stuck back in time because Doc Amos doesn't know what the exact date Oop is at. Everyone knows you have to know that if you're going to transport someone in time.
Everybody knows?
Oop is at. I like saying that. Oop is at. You think they'll get him back? This could be the end of Alley-Oop.
It's a comic strip. There's no such thing as time travel.
Now, that's just sad. A clear-thinking guy like you doesn't believe in time machines, huh? You know, the Nazis are working on time travel, and so is Uncle Sam.
How come you didn't know that, Lou?
It's common knowledge among us engineers. We're a pretty close breed, you know.
I didn't know it because it's not happening. Nazis and time machines and... Why, hey, I think it's time for some music or something anyway, Jack.
Enough said, pal. On with the good time big band swing of the new year on this Saturday night. Here's Woody Herman at the Woodchopper's Ball on the Martin and McKenna Show. Joe, maybe we can convince Lou about time travel.
Non-believers are pretty stubborn. You gotta have an open mind.
There's a difference between open mind and being out of your mind.
More of that non-believer talk, eh?
Got that right.
Thank you.
Woody Herman at his big smash from 1943 at the Woodchopper's Ball. It was first released in 1939, but released again last year. That's a good example of time travel, Lou.
Well, that's true. In 1 minute, we'd have traveled a minute in time. Let me introduce our community editor, Harriet Feurig, with news of the New Year's baby in Douglas County.
Happy New Year, Lewis and Jack and everybody. What a wonderful way to welcome in a new year than to talk about the New Year's baby. We didn't have to wait too long. A daughter was born to the Lawrence Tittermans just 42 minutes after midnight at St. Joseph's Hospital in Superior. Little Miss 1944 will get dozens of gifts from local merchants. She beat out Mr. and Mrs. Hans Johnson of Brule, whose little laddie came in too early, born at St. Mary's Hospital around 6 o'clock New Year's Eve evening. But St. Mary's Hospital had one more expected mother waiting. At 10:45, Mr. and Mrs. Harry Tesm welcomed a baby girl into the world.
Couldn't hold on for just another hour and 15 minutes?
Aren't you the cute one?
I can't help it. You either are or you aren't.
Well, I'm going to put on my other hat now and talk about what's playing at the movies this Saturday night. Some fine shows, beginning with Mr. Big, starring Donald O'Connor at the Superior Theater. It's a real laugher. You can also enjoy The Three Stooges and a community sing-along. All tickets at the Superior Theater are 33 cents. The Princess Theater has Border Buckaroos with Dave O'Brien and Jim Newell and the Texas Rangers. Tickets at the Princess are only 9 cents and 20 cents. The Beacon Theater has Rosalind Russell and Brian Ahern in What a Woman, while Red Skelton and Eleanor Powell star in I Dude It at the People's Theater. It's a madcap musical by MGM. Tickets at People's Theater are 40 cents. And the Palace Theater has a first-run picture starring that great pair, Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland, in Girl Crazy. The Tommy Dorsey Band plays in the movie, too. The Palace has Popeye cartoons and a newsreel, and all seats at the Palace are 55 cents.
Thank you, Harriet Feurig, our woman of many hats, who, by the way, is starting her second year at the Butler Shipyards. You're so busy.
Never too busy for you, Lewis.
That's a hint, Lewis. On with the music, friends. Let's enjoy Lilton Martha Tilton and a brand new number called I'll Walk Alone on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Walk alone, because to tell you the truth, I'll be lonely. I don't mind being lonely when my heart tells me you are lonely too. I'll walk alone, they'll ask me why. And I'll tell them I'd rather. There are dreams I must gather, dreams we fashion the night. You held me tight. I'll always be near you wherever you are each night. In every prayer send your love and your kisses to guide me till you're walking beside me. I'll walk alone.
Thank you.
in every prayer. If you call, I'll hear you. No matter how far, just close your eyes and I'll be there. Please walk alone and send your love.
For your enjoyment on this New Year's Saturday night in 1944. That's a brand new one from the 1944 Hit Parade. Lilton Martha Tilton on station KUWS. All right, everyone, it's time for your Man of the Year picks.
Time Magazine's Man of the Year for 1943 is General George C. Marshall.
Time Magazine, a lot they know. They'd never named an engineer Man of the Year.
In 1940, they picked Winston Churchill. 1941 was FDR. And 1942 was Joe Stalin.
Yeah, in 1938, they picked Adolf Hitler. Nice choice.
My Man of the Year is Rosie the Riveter. Women going to shipyards and factories are making it possible for us to get supplies to our fighting men.
But Rosie's a girl.
Nothing gets by you.
My Man of the Year is Nikolai Tesla. He's my pick every year.
You can't pick him.
I don't see why not, Mr. Don't Believe in Time Travel. He invented everything from the death ray to the theories on time travel. He could win the war for us.
He's also dead.
My pick is Glenn Miller. He gave up riches as a big band leader to play for Uncle Sam. A real inspiration. How about you, Lou?
I guess it'd have to be the GI. And on the home front, it'd have to be the ordinary guy.
Ordinary guy?
Yeah, you know, guys like you, he means.
And you too, Joe.
Who are you calling ordinary, Bob?
In 1943, there was little ordinary about the ordinary guy. It was a bewildering year for all of us. We learned how to say a new word, penicillin, the new wonder drug.
Penicillin.
It's pencil-illin.
I'm trying to figure out stamps on our ration cards.
Ration.
That's ration.
The ordinary guy was glad to get cuffs back on his pants and the coffee ration ended. We were told that instead of beef, which was in short supply, that shark and whale steaks are just as good.
Not on my grill.
No, sirree.
It was confusing to have to do some of the work around the house because the wife is working a job that used to be considered man's work. So my Man of the Year, it was the ordinary guy on the home front.
Well, suddenly, I feel so ordinary.
It's all right. You can tell us about time travel.
That'll guarantee that you're not ordinary.
Flaky, maybe. There's another number for you folks on this fine first day of 1943. Let's enjoy another brand new song, sure to be a hit. This is Louis Jordan and his Timpani Five with the G.I. Jive on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
PFC to CPL, SGT the LT, CP the OD, the MP makes you do Cappy. It's a G.I. Jive, man alive. It starts with a bugler blowing reveille over your bed when you arrive. Hey, Jack, that's a G.I. Jive. Rudely toot, jump in your suit, make a salute. Arrivoot, after you wash and dress, more or less, you go get your breakfast from a beautiful little cafe they call the Mess. Hey, Jack, when you convalesce out of your seat into the street, make with your feet or read. If you're PVT, your duty is to salute. But if you brush the L-I-E-U-T, the M-P makes you can't be on the Q-T. It's just a G-I jive, man alive. They give you a private tank that features a little device called Fluid Drive. Jack after you revive. Chunk all your junk back in your trunk. Fall on your bunk. Clump. Chunk all your junk back in your trunk. Fall on your bunk. Clunk. If you're PFC and you fail to salute the LT, the MP makes you can't be on the QT. Then you go to sleep before you count to five. But when you wake up in the morning, you'll have to do the GI Jive.
Hey, that's a good one, folks. Louis Jordan and his Timpani Five with the G.I. Jive on station KUWS. Now, let's get back to Alley-Oop.
I don't kid myself that our show is always highbrow, but must we talk about the funnies?
Okay, now, here's how time travel works. In theory, of course. If it wasn't, I'd be in the future having dinner on the moon.
That's Buck Rogers. We're talking about Alley-Oop.
There's no such thing as time travel.
That's where you're wrong. Now, Einstein's on to something with his theory that everything is relative.
Or something like that.
Well, we engineers have been working on this very problem. The real stumbling block is the power source. But that problem has been solved by someone.
Who?
How should I know? Anyone inventing time travel has created a parallel universe in which that person exists because he's tampered with history.
The what now?
Don't hurt yourself, Jack. We're all traveling through time. The trick is to speed it up or go backwards. Now, stick with me. We engineers have just about got this genie in a bottle.
The who now?
First, you gotta travel faster than the speed of light. Doing that, time will stand still or go backward. Of course, the paradox is that if time stands still, then you're not traveling anywhere. Thus, we need a quantum tunnel.
The which now?
We've constructed a silo capacitor that we hope will do just that. Now, once we find two things, well, including an ample source.
Dare I ask what the second thing would be?
A volunteer. No one seems to want to volunteer to get into the silo capacitor. Now, Say, Jack.
I'm not getting into any silo or anything else, Majig. Besides, you don't have enough juice to make it work.
Well, there is the possibility that during the next lightning storm, we could borrow a chapter out of Ben Franklin's book and hitch a kite to the silo capacitor. And the way I see it, it'd be painless either way.
Speaking of time, it's time to say goodnight.
What do you mean it's painless either way?
Well, you'd either be transported in time or killed instantly.
Whew. Looks like we'll have to wait for the Sunday funny papers to find out if Alley-Oop's engineers have a better answer than that. Silo capacitor, sheesh. Stay tuned for the National Barn Dance, folks, followed by Lum and Abner and Amos and Andy. And we'll be back. Same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, that is. And we don't have any lightning storms. For Lou Martin, this is Jack McKenna wishing one and all a good night. And remember, war bonds mean freedom.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1944, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Paul Guggenheimer plays foreign correspondent Daryl Berrigan. Other performances by Duke Skorich, John Munsell, Don Hansen. All events reported on Radio Superior 1944 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.
We have some information about some of the soldiers mentioned in tonight's program. Private First Class Conrad Strelka of Superior was wounded in action in fighting in New Britain in the South Pacific. He survived the war, earning a Purple Heart. Conrad Strelka passed away in 2001.
Ironically, his brother Paul, who was in the Army Air Corps, also received a Purple Heart, wounded in the Normandy campaign in 1944. He lived until 1993.
And Clarence Bidgood of Mellon, the major who was captured by the Japanese in the surrender of the Bataan Peninsula in 1942, and who made a shortwave radio call from his prison camp in Japan, also survived the war. In fact, he continued in the service of his country until he retired in 1963.
Thanks to the veterans' offices in Douglas County and Ashland for that information. Again, good night.